Hello and welcome to Swiss Info's programme for October the 5th. I'm Julia Slater in Bern. Let's start with a puzzle. Where would you guess this man is from? Did you think China? Here's another clue.
My name is Liam.
The US. Britain. But then what's he doing on Swiss Info? All will be revealed. But I'll tell you one thing, he's a great traveller, and not only to countries that lots of people go to. Earlier this year, he spent a month living with indigenous people on a remote Indonesian island. He'd certainly be able to help those people around the world who confuse Switzerland and Sweden. It's not just in English that they sound alike, well, very slightly alike. There's the same problem in Chinese, where they both begin with the same character. This is Switzerland.
瑞士.
And this is Sweden.
瑞典.
Not very, very alike, but a good pretext for the two countries to launch a joint campaign to promote their images. The Swiss and Swedish consulates in Shanghai have invited people to submit humorous ideas about how to tell the two countries apart. The prize? A trip for two to both countries. Anna Matte, Switzerland's Deputy Consul General in Shanghai, who is head of the Culture, Media and Education section there, is in charge of the campaign from the Swiss side. I asked her if Chinese people really confuse them.
Yes, they do confuse all the time because the name in Chinese is very similar. And of course, Europe for Chinese people who never traveled is very far. And it's not easy to distinguish between all the different small countries. But it's not a problem. Of course, it's not a problem. It's just a pretext to talk about what our two countries.
What idea of Switzerland do Chinese people have on the whole?
Let's say, in general, Chinese people have a very clear idea about Switzerland. Sometimes they mistake the name, but it's very clear that this is the land of watches, of chocolate, cheese, maybe to a lesser extent, very nice landscape. It's a country where high technology products are produced. And we have a very good image here in China. This is without doubt. With this campaign, we also aim to raise awareness about other aspects of our country.
It seems to me that there's always a bit of a problem distinguishing between the clichés that people like and know and presenting another view of Switzerland. I mean, do you have that as a problem?
We try to use the clichés, what is already known about Switzerland, as an entry point to talk about the rest. Actually, we are posting each week a text about different aspects of our two countries, like traditions, sport, economy, famous people, and culture, and so on. And in this text, we have the opportunity to talk a little bit more about our countries. For instance, on the sport chapter, we talk about Federer, of course. Federer is very well known. He's in China. He's loved by Chinese people in general. But we also talk about ski, about Schwingen, about other sports that most people in China don't know about.
That was Anna Matte, Swiss Deputy Consul General in Shanghai. The campaign has had plenty of publicity, she told me, with about 80 different media from all over China covering the launch. I asked Yang Xudong of SwissInfo.ch's Chinese department if she'd come across this confusion. And she told me of a man she'd been introduced to who, on hearing that she lived in Switzerland, said, "Oh, I have a friend in Stockholm." She, who was at school in the 1980s, thinks it might be an age thing.
I think in our generation, we don't confuse with these two countries. I know these two countries is in my head is very clear. I mean, the young generations, they have more this problem.
The Swiss Info Chinese team, too, has to find a balance between the clichés and the reality.
So we try to introduce Switzerland deeply, not only the clichés. Of course, if we talk about chocolates, if we talk about army knives, we get a lot of page views, but we try to introduce Switzerland more inside. For example, the politics, democracy, the culture, society problems. we try to introduce more about Switzerland.
That was Yang Xudong of Swissinfo's Chinese department. And you're listening to swissinfo.ch. Now, back to the puzzle I set at the beginning of the programme. The name of the man you heard is Liam Bates, and what you heard him doing was reciting a Chinese tongue twister while playing a kind of Chinese clappers called kuai bar, or fast sticks, to the evident appreciation of a Chinese audience. The head of our Chinese department told me that the tongue twister is fiendishly difficult, but that Liam's Chinese is so good that if you didn't see him, you'd never know he was a foreigner. And the Swiss connection? Despite his name and the fact that his father was originally British and his mother originally American, he was born and grew up here and is very definitely Swiss. He now lives much of the time in China, where he presents a television travel programme. When I spoke to him, I asked him what had first aroused his interest in Chinese.
I started studying Chinese, actually, because I wanted to learn Kung Fu. I practiced Kung Fu in Switzerland, and I wanted to get better. It was clear that the best people in the world all came from China. And so I decided that I would go to China and learn Kung Fu. And I figured that learning Chinese would probably help.
When you went to China for the first time, did you find it a very alien place, or did you think you're coming home? Did you really immediately strike a chord?
No, not at all. I was very alien. but that's what made it interesting for me. So the thing that fascinates me about China is that even still today, after so many years, there will be things that surprise me, and I'll be learning things every day because absolutely everything is different here. Just the way people think, the way people do things, the culture, the history, it's so different from ours. Fascinating. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm Chinese by any means, but there's definitely a large part of me which feels Chinese at this point. Maybe sometimes my way of thinking is slightly Chinese, my way of doing things. I had a job interview in Switzerland a couple of years ago, and it didn't go very well. Whereas if it was in China, I'm sure I could have gotten the job because of, I guess, ways of expressing things. Sometimes in China, you won't be very direct. For example, if I say, oh, I've done this, I have lots of experience doing this, and I can do all these other things, maybe people just think you're a bit arrogant or cocky. Whereas actually in the West, you need to do that. You really need to sell yourself. And so differences like that make it hard to work in Europe sometimes for me.
And to go back to the language, what was the most difficult thing when you started learning Chinese?
I think for me, the hardest part of learning Chinese was, or still is probably Chinese characters. A lot of people find the pronunciation very hard, but personally, that wasn't a big problem for me. I think being bilingual in English and French helps because there's a lot of sounds which some sound sort of like English and some sound sort of French. And so speaking both languages, I guess the range of pronunciation that I had was wider than perhaps some other people.
But it's the tone. It's the tones that are the real problem, isn't it?
But again, that's never something I've had much of a problem with. From the start, I was able to tell the difference listening, but between ma and ma.
And I wonder whether you've got perfect pitch or whether you're musical in any way.
Oh no, I'm terrible at music.
Let's get on to what you're doing now. You've got a career in Chinese television. How did that come about?
Well, there's a Chinese contest actually, which is held in China every year, and it's a big TV show. Contestants come from all over the world. And so I did that 3 years ago in 2010 and got into the finals. I came third at the very end. Lots and lots of people watch it. And so I was lucky that someone in a different TV station, a director there was watching this show, saw me and thought, oh, maybe he'd be interesting to use as a TV host in one of our shows. And this is the Travel Channel, China, which is where I work now. And I happened to be, during my speech in that contest, talking about traveling in China and various adventures I'd been on. And so that, I guess, fit the person that they happened to be looking for at that time, and they got in touch with me. And so originally we were planning to work together once and do a one-off trial show. And that turned into a longer series, and 3 years later I'm still doing it.
And you go all over the world for this?
Yeah, the first couple of years were spent mostly in China. Because the idea was that we would, film China through the eyes of a foreigner. So So a new sort of viewpoint for the people of the people that watch the show. And then after doing that for about 2 years, we thought it'd be more interesting to start going around the rest of the world. We filmed in Switzerland once for 2 weeks. So that was filming my home and home country. And that went down really well. That was had the best ratings out of all the shows we've done.
But
so that was good, but yeah.
I can imagine that Chinese are interested in places like Switzerland because they might go there and they've got some idea of what Switzerland's like. I'm just wondering whether you think you might be even changing Chinese attitudes to people who live in totally alien environments that they've never seen or probably even thought about before.
Well, I hope so, because that's one of the things. When we got back from Indonesia, for example, in the jungles there, people would look at photos and the language they use is very reminiscent of sort of Victorian colonial writing from the early explorers that went into the jungles of New Guinea or into the Amazon, and which by today's standards, at least in the Western world, is pretty unacceptable. You'd never call indigenous people savages or say that they're primitive or anything like that. But in China, that's still relatively common. Perhaps not so much savages, but people will definitely say, oh, wow, they're so primitive. Their life is very simple and things like that. And I mean, they don't mean it in any bad way. It's just that they don't have enough knowledge about how the people there live. So hopefully that's what these shows we're doing now can change, is educate people a bit more about what the rest of the world is like in these far off places that they might not ever have heard of.
And what's the future hold for you?
Good question. Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to continue working, sort of building bridges between Switzerland and China, which is something I was doing, for example, with the TV show when we went to Switzerland, and then often work with the Swiss Tourism Office in Beijing. I think that's something which is really good to help educate Swiss people about China and then vice versa. At the same time, of course, I want to keep traveling around the world and making these TV shows because it's fascinating.
And do you see your future more in China or more in Switzerland or really just moving around all the time?
I imagine myself not living only in China, but still spending a lot of time here.
You were over recently to do your military service. I mean, how did that go?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it was interesting. I did my first batch of military service, so half a year at 25, which is very unusual. So I was older than, you know, all the officers that were giving me orders every day, which was strange for me and strange for everybody else that I was with. And then, of course, they too had a very hard time understanding what I do in life. But it doesn't change anything. I was in the mountain specialist unit, so it made up of people that love to rock climb and ski and climb mountains. And so we had a lot of hobbies in common. And so, yeah, we became good friends.
And did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did actually, which a lot of people might find strange, but I was lucky in that I was in a unit that I wanted to be in, and I managed to get through all the exams and stay in it. You know, sure, we were ordered around, and I had to spend every day, making my pillow tidier, or I'd get yelled at because the covers were 3 centimeters to the side. But I also spent a winter in Switzerland skiing and climbing mountains almost every day, so that was good fun.
I was talking there to Liam Bates in Beijing, and that's all we have time for today. For more news and background about Switzerland, visit our website, swissinfo.ch, and tune in again next week. I'm Julia Slater in Bern.